That committee meeting in order. I'll let the minutes show that Senator Adams, Joe Fisher in attendance, and I want to apologize for the lateness in the meeting, but we had another matter that I was chairing a subcommittee, finance subcommittee, and I think that work just required that we just keep on going for an additional half hour. And we wouldn't have been down here if the ethics committee wasn't meeting upstairs. So what we have is one item on the agenda today, and it's committee substitute for House Bill 54, Finance. Representative Ellis is the prime sponsor, so Representative Ellis may join us. You can throw that out. Dave, you want to throw that out?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity, and I just say at the outset that this bill is much more simple, I hope, than the matter you were just discussing with you.
Well, it's in the same category, you know, Medicaid rates and this, no different. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan is here.
House Bill 54 makes some important changes to the statutes governing the Older Alaskans Commission. The bill would allow the OAC to make grants to nonprofit adult daycare and family respite care service providers in order to serve adults under the age of 60 in need of care. And for many of our smaller communities, Mr. Chairman, it really doesn't make a lot of sense because in those communities, it doesn't make sense the way we're doing business today. In many of those communities, there aren't enough people who are either Alzheimer's victims or developmentally disabled to be able to put a program together to serve their needs. And so we would be allowing, based on a functional assessment, the Older Alaskans Commission to serve a mixed group of clients so that in a community, there could be a program of adult daycare and respite for people suffering either from Alzheimer's disease, general health problems, victims of dementia, stroke victims, and the developmentally disabled. Because there is a striking need for adult daycare, and I trust that members of this committee understand that term. There's a striking need for that, as well as respite care for those families that are currently dealing with disabled members of their family at home at a great cost savings to the state. So we'd be allowing OAC to serve a mixed group of clients. We'd be allowing them to serve those clients or through their nonprofit service providers to serve folks on a sliding scale fee. Also to make use and capture third-party payments, which they can't do today, specifically from long-term care insurance that some of these clients may have. So the benefit to the state is that we continue these kind of community-based services. We deal with people that are in need of care. We support families, keep people out of expensive institutions, allow these services to be offered in smaller communities that can't provide them now. And I just point the committee toward the zero fiscal note and the fact that we're avoiding duplication of services to all these different groups. I know that Connie Seip from Older Alaskans Commission is here and can answer any detailed questions. But with that presentation, I'd recommend the bill to the committee.
Any questions of Senator Adams?
Yes. I've got a few questions. The one goes to section number 2 on page number 1. I'd like to find how the formula works versus just going to centers mainly in the urban areas, and how does it get out to the rural areas?
I'd like to defer, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, you can stay there, and Connie, why don't you just come on and...
Okay, for the record, for the Secretary, my name is Connie Seip from the Older Alaskans Commission, the Executive Director. Mr. Chairman, and through Mr. Chairman to Senator Adams, number 2 is actually a technical cleanup. We were gifted with legislative drafting when they got the basic part of this. This bill really starts at section 4. The first 3 sections are cleanup, where they took existing law, where it used to say this chapter, and the new legislative way of drafting statutes is instead to cite the actual numbers of the chapter. So I want you to understand that sections 1, 2, and 3 don't change anything in existing law first. Then let me answer your question. This section, it comes out of a statute of community services for older Alaskans, and it requires each community that gets a grant to put in some matching dollars, gives a formula based on the taxable property values in the community, divided by the number of people, and then capped at 10%. Most towns the size of Petersburg or larger would contribute 18 to 25% local match, except for this statute, which says, calculates the complicated formula every year, then caps it at 10%. The statute does not itself set out a formula for how dollars are distributed by the Older Alaskans Commission to the communities. The Older Alaskans Commission adopts every 2 to 3 years an intrastate funding formula by region, not by community, but by region, and then takes grant applications within that region and gives out the dollars. We get under federal guidelines on this funding allocation or formula by region, the one we do, it's not in statute. We factor in the number of people in the region over 60. We give an extra weighting factor for the number of people over 60 who are low income, and an additional weighting factor for the number of people over 60 who are minority. And in addition, we give a factor for the cost of doing business in small, remote, rural communities. Those are the four funding factors that the Older Alaskans Commission has used. It's a funding formula that we write up. We send it to the federal government for approval, and we use it for the 70% of our money that is federal and also for the 30% of our money that is state. We use the same funding formula for all the money, and it's a funding formula by region, not by community. This is a match statute by community.
Senator, then in section number 4, how do we come up with the age of 55?
Senator, we had concern among a lot of people that would not go too far down. This actually addressed a lot of concerns from rural Alaska. We are repeatedly asked by the senior centers in rural and native areas of the state, where they often consider elders to be younger than 60 in terms of the tribal sense of elder and in terms of the need for services if they may be in frail health. We also were trying to balance the concern that we're not trying to take on necessarily daycare for all younger persons, but people who are similar to the ones we now serve, who've got the same kind of physical frailties or handicaps. Not an 18-year-old who's very active and who needs to go out and play basketball, but people who are frail, sort of a little bit older. And we have two ways to do it. It's to get to frail older person with 55 or older, anyone with Alzheimer's, which doesn't rarely sets in before age 50. Does happen, though, in the 50s. And similarly, disabled adults, meaning that they're adults, not children, and they've got to be at risk of institutional placement. And then it's going to be a case-by-case decision by the local daycare whether they can handle that client compatible with their other kinds of clients, whether it be safe to mix them, whether they can actually do anything for that person.
Yes, even though in the BRU that we have some grant monies that has specifically says Alzheimer's victims and that, it may go then not only for that disease, for also other disabled adults?
Let me be real clear. The bill states that right now, the money that the Older Alaskans Commission gets out of our Older Alaskans Commission statute, AS 4765, will not be used to serve the younger group. That's only if we can find other sources of funding or if the local community can find a source of funding for them. Then there's the Mental Health Trust funds for Alzheimer's, and that can be used to serve only Alzheimer's or related dementias, and there are about 5 times dementias, at any age. So the money in the budget for the OAC right now will still keep serving only people over 60, except for that mental health trust that you have seen in the budget. That can serve Alzheimer's of any age. What we're just getting authorization here to do is to serve other types of people if we find funding. If somebody is a sheltered client of the local community mental health center who's on a sheltered living program and they need day treatment, don't have a place to do it, if their counselor can pay for them to come over to adult daycare and it works out with the community senior daycare center, they can come over and be a client. In the past, and we won't worry about, you know, a little bit of subsidy by just the background cost of having our center open for them. Or if they've got long-term care insurance, if they can private pay, we'll try and take care of them. A 52-year-old stroke victim, if her husband's a state retiree who bought long-term care insurance, they can pay $35 a day off their long-term care insurance and we could care for them. The center could take that as the payment. But we're not going to use any OAC funds to pay for people who aren't authorized by our statute under 60.
Under 60.
Right.
You finished, Senator?
You want me to continue?
Well, if you want, go ahead. People waiting. No, Senator Jones. You have some Senator Jones.
Chairman, come on, you and I had a discussion this morning about taking Peter Brick seniors out of the food program. And
how the whole grant picture has come down 13.5% since 1986. Now, is this supposed to come under those same grants, and are we adding more to that? Or?
I don't want to, if I may, Mr. Chairman and Senator Jones, I don't want to contradict the sponsor, but you know, in a technical sense, what this bill says is it says that the commission may make grants from funds otherwise available to it. In other words, not available to us in our regular OAC budget. If we can find other funds through a foundation for Alzheimer's or a foundation to serve 50 to 60-year-old developmentally disabled, it would allow us to do that. It does not allow us to use any of our present OAC grant money to serve people under 60. We have a new source of funding coming into our budget this year for the Mental Health Trust that serves Alzheimer's people of any age, but our basic OAC grant money will not be diluted. These other services like the senior center services, nutrition, and meals are not going to be diluted by this bill. This only allows a small daycare center, like Homer's opening a daycare center in July. They think they've got a couple of private pay people in their 50s with strokes, head injuries, you know, workers' comp insurance payments who would pay for them to come to day treatment. They've got one or two DD people whose families would help chip in. They just want to be authorized to serve other people if they can find another source of funding for them. We are not going to use any OAC funds to serve people under 60 or dilute the other grants. Does that answer your question?
It's just, we should be looking that hard to take care for other funds to take care of these people that we're cutting off. But right now we're choosing between this person that you're going to eat and you're not, type of thing. And I think it's a crime, and I see us doing other things for people, but we need to provide food for some of these older folks that can't afford it themselves, and we're not doing that even. And it just really upsets me that we take on other programs, wrap our arms around them, when we can't even take care of providing food for the old folks. So, in need.
Let me ask this. Yes. Do you perceive, or the sponsor, do you perceive any state money here? We could just as well take it for the food, as Senator Jones talked about. Is this what we're saying? Or is this mostly other funds other than state money?
The fiscal note is zero. What we're talking about this bill doing is allowing us to get third-party payments. You know, the Older Alaskans Commission has never charged fees for services like Health and Social Service does. This allows us to charge a fee. We can't bill an insurance company, a long-term care insurance company, for a fee for a person if we're only asking for donations. So this is allowing us to try to find other funds so that the state funds that go to support adult daycares don't have to grow in the future, Senator Jones. We've opened six of these, Ketchikan, Juneau. Since 1981, it's been a gradual process. Ketchikan, Juneau, Chugiak, two in Anchorage, one all Alzheimer's, one general public, one in Kenai. And then with Mental Health Trust dollars, new dollars, we're going to be able to open the new ones in Fairbanks. Fairbanks opened last month. They're opening one in Matsu Valley this month. We'll open Homer in July. And if the governor's increment for Mental Health Trust dollars comes in, then we would be serving probably four more small communities, maybe Bethel, Kotzebue, Nome, Sitka, those size towns. But the commission over the years has been trying to balance serving the meals, and also in some of the larger communities, these kind of services, partially through urging the legislature, demonstration projects, they've become part of the system now.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to go.
Can we use those funds, like you have facilities, you have administrators in these different communities that you're serving, and you have vans, you have different, can we use the fixed cost, can we spread the fixed cost over some of these programs?
Senator Jones, for the chair, they are the same program. Southeast Senior Services runs the daycare in Juneau. Ketchikan is run by, for one time, isn't run by SES. It's the only thing in Southeast not run by SES. It's run by Easter Seal Society. Most of them are run by the same program. Salvation Army in Anchorage runs the meals, the vans, the adult daycare. Kenai runs, the senior center runs both the daycare and all the other programs. They are usually right in the middle of our senior service delivery system.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but I see other funds coming in. I mean, these are other funds that could help pick up those costs for on the food program. and you could provide, you know, let that, these funds take care of that, and you can use the funds then also for the food.
I think it will indirectly do that. When we this year restructured the daycare grants, when the mental health trust monies came in for the first time this year, we restructured all the daycare grants so they now get a portion of mental health trust funds and a portion of OAC funds. And we said to them, we did kind of the reverse thing. We said, if you have costs, overhead costs, that your daycare has been shifting to the meals program or the transportation program, we want you to bring them into the daycare program itself and account for them in the daycare program so that the fees for daycare are going to reflect the true cost and you're not pushing any costs from daycare over into the rest of the seniors program. We've done it, kind of, it's the same concept, we just did it the other way. We said, get all your costs really and truly in daycare so that the rest of the senior center is not subsidizing adult daycare. Eventually, Medicare, for instance, would have paid for this under the Catastrophic Illness Act. They were going to put in $150 days a year of adult daycare for a person, and that got repealed when the Catastrophic Illness Act got repealed. If some of the home care bills under Medicaid go through, lots of other states pay for adult daycare under Medicaid. So what we are doing, trying to achieve what you want, is we are putting the cost center separately for adult daycare. They account for them as a separate grant to our office, and we're trying to get their true costs all into adult daycare. Don't let have the rest of the center subsidize it. I don't know if these people will ever raise enough money to help subsidize the senior center, but at least they won't drain off the senior center resources.
Tony, is there a maximum amount per day that can go for daycare?
Senator, right now we're not putting a maximum amount on what it costs. It's different at different centers because some places have 22 clients to spread costs and some only have 8. The average per unit cost, we had attached that to the back of the position paper, right now adult daycare in state OAC funds is costing about $3.52 an hour. On the average, and respite care about $8.53 an hour. The annualized cost per client that we serve is around $1,900 a year out of OAC money in an adult daycare. The alternative to that is often the nursing home. I mean, that's what keeps people, these are the people who are right on the edge. In fact, this year we've had to push back some people from nursing homes and pioneers homes who were taking up slots in the community adult daycare when we had community waiting lists. But it was the kind of day programming they need, and they were coming into the community.
Okay, let me ask you this. I don't know what the maximum could be. Let's suppose you have a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
That has an Alzheimer's person. They don't qualify for Medicaid. So in other words, the nursing home is eating the total cost. Why couldn't that institution say, well, okay, I know it's long, 24 hours a day, but give us at least the minimum amount because we do have daycare plus night care and everything else. Could they somehow come in for part of the reimbursement through this program to help out since the person doesn't have the money to pay for the keep, and yet they're keeping it during the day, which normally they'd be in daycare if they had somebody to take them after that?
Senator Fisher, right now they wouldn't because we don't do it on a client-by-client basis. We give a grant, and for the grant, they guarantee that they'll be open 5 days a week at a daycare, and they'll serve up to 20 people. We don't have a reimbursement system by client right now. If at some point in the future we bring in more like Medicaid and Medicare into the state to pay for adult daycare, it's conceivable that a nursing home could ask for that kind of reimbursement. It's going to be difficult for them if they're getting paid by any other source, because they're already getting paid for 24-hour care.
Well, but this person doesn't qualify for the 24-hour care. I'm saying somebody that's there and out of goodness of their heart, what do? You just send them out in the street. They don't qualify for Medicaid. They can't get in a pioneer home. So there they are, and yet the institution, you know, being, you know, cares about human, they take care of it. It seems to me there ought to be some other little program that maybe can help with the subsidizing of that, so the nursing home doesn't have to subsidize it at all.
I think, Senator Fisher, right now, at least adult daycare, the bill gives it a definition that it's non-residential and it's group care. It's not like one person over at a center. As the system grows in the state over the next, you know, few years, that's part of what we need to look at. We may be running adult daycares and pioneer homes someday. You know, we may have people from the community coming into that, or we may be having more people from, if the pioneer homes residential assisted living side keeps growing in need, that's what people need. But right now we don't have any way in our current definitions to do it, and it could be quite a dilution of the budget to have that be happening.
Let me just ask this thing, Connie, is the Older Licensing Commission addressing Alzheimer's at all as far as say, advocating that be covered under mental health money, and you know, I'm talking about now nursing home situations where they have to get a nursing home. What's the status of that? And I know it's getting a little bit off of the bill, but since it did come up.
Senator Fisher, I want to say that we have been working a lot with the mental health board. I sit on representing the commission as an ad hoc member of the mental health board's budget committee, and we've been working with them for almost 2 years now on that green group, and we go to every mental health meeting and most of the subcommittee meetings. We started advocating first at the community level for adult daycare, family respite care, and case management. But we asked for an increment this year, and we are planning to work on a residential needs of Alzheimer's. What do they need when they're inside a nursing home? What do they need inside the Pioneers Home? We've been discussing the Pioneers Home that they don't have any capacity to deal with Alzheimer's. They got room and board for them just like everybody else. They don't have extra staffing. They don't have programming for them. And the OAC is going to be working with Pioneers Homes over the interim to try to come up with a list of what they need to really deal with Alzheimer's. And then the step that goes with that is the private nursing homes, too.
Yeah,
yes, we are advocating to help all of those systems. We need some time. This came on us so suddenly that OAC was supposed to represent the Alzheimer's and the mental health trust issues that we've started with our primary focus, which we know most about, which is community care. But we are moving into planning for residential nursing home care too.
And in that planning, Connie, are you looking at, for example, somebody that is Medicaid eligible, if we get to that point, that we kind of encourage them to go to the private nursing home? If they're not Medicaid eligible, then urge those to go to the state institution. You see, because what I see happening, people that are Medicaid eligible or that are not Medicaid eligible somehow end up in a private institution, so the private institution has to eat it all. And yet we have people in a Pioneer home who are eligible, but since it doesn't do us any good.
Senator, I think that I've forgotten the name of the bill on Pioneer home eligibility. The commission has not come out and made a big hurrah about that because we don't usually comment on Pioneer homes bills, but we quietly understood it, that the destitute don't go to the top of the waiting list anymore for Pioneer's home, partially to subtly encourage that sort of thing, that we know that people who are eligible for Medicaid can get good care in good nursing homes. Our state has good nursing homes. So the OAC is advocating that kind of thing, that we need to use all of the facilities we have and all of the funding that we have.
No, I would encourage you to move pretty fast on that, because I think Alzheimer's is something we should have addressed a long time ago. And some of us are also getting in that category, I understand. A little selfish there. Okay, any other questions or advice? Connie, is there anybody else in the general public that wants to testify on this bill? The public hearing is closed. What's the wish of the committee? Senator Duncan.
House Committee Substitute, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd vote House Committee Substitute Group. Finance House Committee Substitute Group. House Bill.
And any objection? Okay, the bill is moved out of committee. And with that, before we adjourn, I do want to mention that there's a piece of legislation we're going to look at, but we're going to develop a little further. Professional practice.
Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So we'll look at it and bring it back to the next meeting. We're adjourned.